Marriage is the very foundation of human society. But it was God's idea to begin with. What is God's plan for your marriage? How can you know? What can you do to learn and grow with your spouse to honor God in your marriage? Pastor Bob Enyart covers this deeply personal and critically important topic in his teaching series, God's Plan for Marriage. Order by calling 800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to another episode of Bob Enyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and you are invited Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings. We have a great Sunday school, Sunday night Bible study. We're in the Gospel of Mark chapter 3. We have a wonderful time, and if you're in the Denver metro area, come on out. We had a wonderful service on Resurrection Sunday morning. A lot of visitors, folks from the radio audience, So you're invited. Remember that. Our phone number here, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. From our file, What's a Liberal to Do? This out of Georgia. A six-year-old was being a brat in school, public school, government school, in kindergarten. And so the school didn't know what to do. The teacher didn't know what to do. The principal didn't know what to do. So what are they going to do? What's a liberal to do? So they called the police. And the police came, and they arrested the kid. They arrested the kid for being a brat. Now, this is a six-year-old. And they put her in handcuffs, put her in the back of the police cruiser, and brought her down to the police station. Now, the family, of course, what would the family do? If this happened in my day, like I'm some old geezer, if this happened in my day, when you got home, your father would give you a spanking. You'd get a spanking. So if the school swatted you, which happened in my day, the school would give you a swat. Even when I left private school for grammar school 8 years, went to public high school, our phys ed teacher took out a paddle and he said, if you're disobedient, I could swat you with this paddle. And so everybody was good for at least the next 3 or 4 days. Then we found out it was just an idle threat. Then everybody behaved like lunatics for the next 4 years. But if this happened in my day, you'd go home and your father would give you a spanking. So if you were swatted at school and you went home, you get swatted again. Today what happens is if a student gets swatted at school, they go home, tell their parents, and then the father cries. The father will cry. Then he'll call his lawyer, try to sue the school. So this was a six-year-old, and the father, Ernest Johnson, told WMAZ Radio, a six-year-old in kindergarten, they don't have no business calling the police and handcuffing my child. What's a liberal to do? What do you want them to do? And the mother said the little girl suffers mood swings. She suffers them. You know, when Jesus said, suffer the little child, this is a different kind of suffering. But that was no reason to have her arrested. And the aunt, Candace Ruff, she said, well, she might have misbehaved, but I don't think she misbehaved to the point where she should have been arrested and taken to the police department. What's a liberal to do? What is a liberal to do? I know kids whose parents lock them in their bedroom because they've told them, well, you have to go to bed. It's 10 o'clock at night. And little kids, they say no. Now, we've raised 7 boys, Cheryl and I. Our youngest are 10, 12, and 14. And they're not perfect. Anyone who knows them, they know they're not perfect. But the number of times that I've heard one of our kids say no to me is zero. Never. And their love and respect for me, how I enjoy them, how they get along, and how they're leaders, and they play sports, and scouts, and hockey, and snowboarding. It's just all so fabulous. And they haven't grown up as crybabies because we taught them the only time you're allowed to cry is if someone else gets hurt or if you get hurt. If somebody gets hurt or you get hurt, you can cry. Otherwise, you can't cry. So if you can't play a video game, you can't cry. And if a kid did cry because he couldn't play a video game, then you're supposed to be a good dad and say, I'm going to give you something to cry about. So that would be a good dad. I haven't had to use that line. We haven't had crybabies and temper tantrums. I don't remember a temper tantrum in all these years of raising seven boys. So we're going to go to the phones here in a moment. We've got a Bible question coming in from out of state. Where is this? Indiana? All right, that's going to be fun. Our number, 1-800-8-N-YARDS, 1-800-836-9278. So unspanked kids are typically miserable kids. And these parents, you think they follow the no greater joy model of disciplining your children, using a switch, spanking them? I don't think so. So let's go to the phones. In Indiana, Orpha, O-R-F-A, Orpha, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Thank you.
Hey, what's up, Orpha?
Well, I have a couple of questions. One is about jewelry, and the other is about head covering. Now, if we have time for the second one, that'd be great.
Yeah.
If not,
I'm sure we will. You caught us at the beginning of the show.
Okay.
And both of these questions, jewelry, like the adorning of, say, a woman with gold rings or earrings or necklace.
Yeah.
And head covering, like a veil or a hat. These are both issues that are addressed in the Bible, and they're both issues that are somewhat superficial by their very nature, right? By their very nature, Jesus said, it's not what goes into a man that makes him unclean, but what comes out of a man, what proceeds from his heart. So something like this, like what you wear on your head, that's a reasonably superficial question, but it's an interesting question. So go ahead. What's happening, Orpha?
Well, I was raised that we should not wear jewelry, such as, even a wedding ring. And
wow.
I was just debating with my sister yesterday, and she... The only scriptures that I found that could that someone could interpret that,
could
that way
possibly be used.
Yes.
Yeah, like don't let your adornment be outward.
Yes, like in 1 Timothy and the one in 1 Peter and everything else, like that I've read about jewelry and adornment and whatnot. It was even some of it was used as an analogy concerning the glory of God, and I was like, wow. I just didn't understand how they could interpret it that way. And what do you say to someone who believes that? Because I no longer believe that, but I don't know how to explain that.
Well, very good. And by the way, we just finished a DVD Bible study, verse by verse, of 1 and 2 Peter. We have Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy. We have it on MP3 CDs and downloadable. I'll share that for other people in the audience, Orpha. But so we've gone through these scriptures, and when we read in the Bible that a wife, her adornment should not be merely outward, how she arranges her hair and the wearing of gold or putting on of fine apparel, if that was the extent of her beauty, that would be tragic, because rather she should have a hidden beauty of the heart, an inner beauty, and that inner kind of beauty cannot be corrupted with the passing of time. It could survive forever because God made us in His image and His likeness.
Mm-hmm.
So when a woman is humble and strong and gracious and she's good and loving to her husband and children, this is the kind of beauty that as she grows older and she becomes, say, a grandma, or maybe a great grandma, that beauty only increases. It doesn't decrease. She becomes more beautiful. Most kids think that grandma is beautiful. They don't think of her in terms of a model on the cover of a magazine. They just love grandma and love seeing her, and they run up to her, and they love how her home smells with the good cooking and all. And so God made us to have that kind of beauty, but he also put hair on our heads. Well, for some of us. I'm looking at three guys right now in the studio audience. They didn't get in line when the hair was handed out. So God gave us also the ability to look nice physically. So for a woman to comb her hair, brush her hair, she wants to look nice for her husband, for her kids, even out in public. That's a good thing. And God gave us the ability to make fine apparel, fine clothes. And we could have earrings or a necklace. But the warning is, if this is your only adornment, if your adornment is only outward, then there's something really wrong. So what happens, Orpha, is that teaching goes to the heart of the matter, because it goes to your heart, right?
Right.
But what people do in a very superficial way is they're more comfortable with legalism and rules and superficiality, less comfortable with substance and relationship and truth and justice.
Yes.
And so they take teachings about hats and about how you do your hair, arranging your hair, and about earrings, and they make the teaching about an earring, or they make it about how much time you spend combing your hair. I mean, if they took this literally, then they wouldn't comb their hair, would they?
Well, that's what I said. I mean, did you, like, read, you know, the rest of it? I mean, and everyone who I was raised, like, we were not modest dressers like, say, the Amish, for example.
Right.
Not even close. I mean, not that we dress so provocative, but some did. And I'm like, how could you say it's so wrong to wear jewelry, but yet you're dressed with
your cleavage? You might dress provocatively, right.
Yeah,
well, that's, like, a great point, and that goes to the heart and to motive and to wisdom. And so when you make things so superficial, like in Israel, a lot of restaurants in Israel, they're kosher. So I remember a street in Tel Aviv where you could not get a cheeseburger at one restaurant, and on the other corner, there was a house of ill repute, basically.
Oh, wow.
And so you can't get a cheeseburger, but sexual immorality was for sale. And that's an example that people major in the minors, and they focus on the outward appearance, and therefore then they're not focusing on the heart.
Well, yeah, like, for example, like, this is how, okay, I'm no longer a member of my church, and I'm not, you know, teaching that to my children, because the more I see so many things, I see the hypocrisy without them even realizing it, I don't think. And one of the things, like, my cousin, she was raised the same way, but is not a Christian as we were raised. And she got married, and I asked her, I was like, oh, did you get a wedding ring? Because I didn't remember. I didn't know. And she's like, no, I didn't do the wedding ring at my wedding because out of respect for our family, you know, because, you know, they don't believe in that. Yeah. And she doesn't wear her ring around her mom, not even her husband, because she doesn't want her to get mad. But this is the sad thing, okay? Before she got married, she was living with her husband. And her mom would go visit her and whatnot. So I'm
That's perfect.
You want to hide your ring?
Let me ask you, where does your name come from, Orpha, O-R-F-A?
In the Book of Ruth.
Oh, you mean your mother didn't misspell your name like Oprah's mom?
No.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, Orpha, your example is perfect. It's absolutely perfect. And I've seen it throughout my life where people become obsessed with what is superficial, and that is, it's like a neon warning sign flashing, telling you there's something wrong beneath. Beneath the skin, there's something wrong. In the heart, in the mind, there's something wrong, because there is an unnatural obsession with that which is superficial.
Yes, yes. you know, my sister says, oh, I there are a lot of scriptures. And she even said the wedding ring came from Catholicism. And this one article my husband downloaded from or copied from the internet was, this guy was saying that it came from, like, what is it, like...
It probably came from the spawn of the devil.
Yeah.
Probably came from homosexuals
like
or something.
That. Well, he said, like, the serpent in the form of a ring.
Orpha.
You know? I mean,
yeah. It's meaningless. Orpha, the ring that a woman wears as an engagement ring, mm-hmm. within our culture, she wears a diamond. Mm-hmm. And that is so beautiful. And then, you know, she's married and they add the wedding ring and she wears that diamond throughout her life.
Mm-hmm.
That's a cultural thing.
Right.
Guys who are not married, who want to be married, they're sort of on the prowl. You know, they're looking for a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And what is so neat about how our culture does this is that if a woman is wearing a wedding ring and you might be outside going to a town picnic or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he could notice, as a young man would be likely to do, notice a woman getting out of a car in the parking lot and heading toward the picnic. She might be 50 yards away from him.
Mm-hmm.
And if she's wearing a wedding ring, a diamond, it's almost hard not to notice. Because for the guy who's looking for a woman, he realizes that wedding ring, she's 50 yards away and it'll glint in the sun. And so he doesn't even have to talk to her or her family to find out that she's already spoken for. And so he would have respect toward her, her fiance, their family, and he would not pursue her. And so there's just something beautiful that our culture reinforces with wedding rings and engagement rings.
Okay, good.
And then how about the head coverings? What's that about?
Okay, well, we were raised that reading 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that is talking about a woman having her head covered with a veil when she prays or
yeah.
witnesses to someone and reads the Bible and, you know, et cetera. And I read that, of course, a lot. I was raised that way. But the way my pastor would explain it is in the verse 14 when it says, by nature doth not nature, you know.
Right.
He says that that's referring to our head being the our hair being the covering when we're outside of church and when we're not praying.
Hmm. Okay.
I don't understand. That doesn't really make sense to me the more and
all
more
right.
that I read it.
Sure, sure. This is another example I've seen many times where churches are obsessed with rules and they have these laws, these rules that say a woman has to wear a hat in church. And it's a sin if a man prays with a hat on. And so I don't know what Eskimos do. I don't know what astronauts do.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a sin. So they have to not pray while they're in space or in the Arctic Circle. So that's all silly. What this passage is about is authority, coverings, protection. These are fundamental topics that are addressed through the entire Bible. A covering, do you remember in Genesis when Adam and Eve sinned and they felt that there was something wrong with them?
Yeah.
They were exposed before God. He could see their failure and they wanted to cover themselves up. They were ashamed. And so they tried, but then God came and said, no, that doesn't work. You can't do it yourself. It requires a blood sacrifice. And so God killed an animal and took the skins of the animal and covered them with the skin of the animal. And that was a symbol of the ultimate covering, which is Christ. Because Christ, God the Son, the eternal God, the Son, became flesh. He put on himself a covering and he became the blood sacrifice. And so he is our covering. We are protected. We are given eternal life because of him, if we trust in him. So this concept of a covering goes through the entire Bible, and God has created man and woman with an authority structure. And he made man first, and woman he made from man. And God has commanded men that they are to provide for their wife and for their mother, their sisters, their daughters, that men are to provide and to protect so that the man is the covering for his wife. He's to be there to protect her. And so he has this responsibility where he is his wife's covering.
Okay.
Now, if you asked, well, in a marriage relationship, is she his covering? In the biblical answer, speaking of authority flowing from God downhill to man, and then through the mother to the kids,
mm-hmm.
and even the kid can kick the cat off the couch. So authority flows downhill, not uphill. God gave us hair, and our hair is also, conveniently, it's also used as a symbol of authority. So our hair on top of our head, it's a symbol of authority. And God made men so that we will go bald. And given enough time, I remember from a kid, Orpha, when I was young, I wanted to go gray and I wanted to be bald. From a kid. From young, like younger than a teenager. I had an uncle who went totally gray when he was about 25 years old. And I thought that was the coolest thing because he looked like a mature adult. He had wisdom. And the Bible speaks of the graying of the hair as a sign of wisdom and maturity and growth. And baldness,
wow.
So a man goes bald. We call it male pattern baldness. Men go bald as a symbol that they don't have a covering above them. They are accountable directly to Christ. So on earth, we don't have a covering in our marriage, but we are to be a covering for our wives. So that is what Paul says, that nature itself teaches you that a woman has a covering, and men, their covering is Christ. And so that's what 1 Corinthians 11 is all about. It's all about the man protecting the woman, not only from criminals, but protecting her reputation. And so when these legalists that you're describing, they won't wear a ring and she won't go to church without a hat, but they shack up together. So he's
yeah.
not protecting her dignity, her honor, her reputation. He's not doing that, but they're keeping these superficial rules. And to the extent you focus on what is superficial, to that extent, you're not focusing on what is important. And in my experience, a lot of churches who are obsessed with such things,
mm-hmm.
they don't focus on what is important nearly as much as they focus on what is superficial.
No, and I could tell you, Bob, that I have heard more preachings about
hats,
not plucking your eyebrows,
and
all this outward than I have about how to be a mother.
You mean the pastor's wife there has bushy eyebrows?
It is a sin, according to them, that you should not pluck your eyebrows because it's worldly. You
well, that's
should
what
not
I mean.
Have facial hair, except for a mustache.
Huh? Not a beard?
No, only a mustache, if that, because
Orpha,
it's worldly.
These people are lunatics. They are lunatics. And I imagine they say the women need to wear skirts.
Yes, we are only to wear, you can wear pants if you have a skirt over it. It's just so much that this is how we were raised. And my mom, she has taken it really, really hard about me no longer being a member there. I mean,
yeah.
she's,
I
and
think
I understand that.
I think you're a blessing to your mother by rejecting these rules. Even though your mother doesn't realize it now, one day she will. And one day in heaven, she'll be thankful that she wasn't able to destroy her daughter's life the way she would have.
Right.
Unless you had learned the truth of this. We have a gal who goes to Denver Bible Church, and she went to a legalist church back in Massachusetts where they had to wear skirts. They even had to wear skirts to bed. They were not allowed to wear pajama pants.
Oh, wow.
The women. And she called in and asked, from Massachusetts, what do you recommend? And I said, I would say you should run as fast as your skirt will allow you and get out of there. Just get out of there. So,
yes. Yeah.
All right. Well,
okay.
I'm sorry you've had to grow through that, but I'm glad you've learned these things.
Yes. Yes, definitely. I am too. And I'm thankful. And I know that they believe that. I have been corrupted, that my husband has corrupted me and whatnot. But, you know, I guess we just have to live by example.
Yeah, and Orpha, here at Bob and Yurt Live, one of the Bible teachings that have kept us on the air for about 20 years now is the plot. It's my life's work, an overview of the Bible. And we start with an overview of the Bible. Then we get to topics like this, which are details.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start with the details, it's really easy to get totally twisted up and going in the wrong direction.
Yes, exactly.
So you find out first what is important to God, and then you drill into the details, and then they make more sense.
I tell you, my husband, when we were dating, he introduced the plot to me, and he wanted me to read it. But because the way I was raised, I refused to.
Oh.
And because my family did not approve of my being with him. So because of me, you know, the way I was raised, I didn't want to marry him. I did. I knew common sense, like there's nothing wrong with it. But people kept telling me you shouldn't because he's not from your organization. But we did eventually. I just talked to my pastor. I said, you know what? You know, we're going to be together, blah, blah, blah. We got married. And now I'm starting to read the plot and we're listening to it. And it's like, wow, so much that I didn't understand before is so clear to me now. Like, how could people not see this?
Oh,
like,
wow.
That's the way I think. We're not done with it yet, but
well,
it is
that's
very
a blessing to hear, Orpha. Thank you so very much.
Yes.
I appreciate it.
I wish
it.
I would have listened to him then, because then I would have asked my pastor, well, what do you think about this?
Yeah, like, that's right. But you know what? When there's life, there's hope. And thank you, Orpha.
Oh, thank you so much.
God bless you. I appreciate
it. God bless
you.
It was a pleasure meeting you and talking to you.
All right. Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
That's great.
Bye.
So the Bible talks about what you wear. And for example, in Deuteronomy 22, it's a sin for a man to dress as though he wants to appear like a woman. That's a sin. But back then, the priest would wear a dress back then. A priest wore a skirt. So these guys who say, you got to dress the way the Bible says, I ask the pastor, I say, do you wear a skirt when you go to church on Sunday morning? Because the priest would wear a skirt. I say, oh, of course not. Right, you don't, because our culture has changed. And unless you're playing a bagpipe from Scotland, if you show up in a skirt, people are going to think you're trying to appear like you're a girl. And so that's a sin. It's a sin for a woman to want to be a man and to act like a man on purpose. That's a sin. And it's a sin for a man to behave like a girl. And God warns us about such things. But these other issues, they're superficial. God bless you.
Marriage is the very foundation of human society. But it was God's idea to begin with. What is God's plan for your marriage? How can you know? What can you do to learn and grow with your spouse to honor God in your marriage? Pastor Bob Enyart covers this deeply personal and critically important topic in his teaching series, God's Plan for Marriage. Order by calling 800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com.